the great Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We recently had a very excellent groundbreaking opportunity that the missionary team got to attend. We were able to teach from the Building Moral Excellence in the Workplace book. Let's get a look on the screen there. Moral Excellence in the Workplace. This is an excellent book, and I suggest that everybody gets it. What we had an opportunity to do was teach the leaders that teach others. So we're teaching those to teach. And it was very well received, which you're going to hear about it from the future priests momentarily. This vast opportunity, which it is vast, I want you to think about this, the workplace. How many more workplaces are there than schools? Many, many, many more times. I mean, there's a workplace everywhere, every corner, every building, really, that's not a residential building is some type of a workplace. There's more workplaces than schools, more than churches, more than any kind of municipal offices. And the government even says that they've got to have this moral excellence in the workplace. They call it ethics, but corporations have to be taught these ethics. It's mandatory that they get taught, that they teach their employees certain areas of ethics. So be thinking about what you can do. Be thinking about what you can do locally in your area. Be thinking about how you could push this forth, because it is all laid out beautifully in this book, exactly how to teach this program. And I got to say, it's probably the one that I've seen that flows smoother than any other book to me. It's very easy to present, and everything's right there for you. So be thinking about this while you're watching this video. We've got a short video, and then the future priests will come up and explain what they saw and had experienced, okay? So if you could play the video.
From Workforce Solutions to the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Moral Excellence in the Workplace Training. We're all very pleased to be here today. Peaceful Solution is true higher education, okay? Because it teaches you, it gives you a foundation for your life. How to treat others, how to communicate with others.
Points a negative back on you, and that's something that we need to change.
So even when you're upset, you'll be able to practice self-control.
Negative situations aren't something you can put on a bookshelf and they go away. You have to deal with it.
Those are the things we ask for. We ask for permission. Remember, don't be afraid of what?
Asking.
The no answer. Yeah, don't be afraid of asking, but don't be afraid of receiving a no answer as well.
You know, how do you think that asking can better your own personal growth? You gain knowledge. You gain understanding.
We're gonna do a scenario right now. So I'm gonna have two of the students, Tawakin and Jacob, if they will come up here and do this scenario. They're going to be doing, it's on page 87. I'm sorry, yeah, 87, scenario D. Come here. Okay.
Hey, thanks for that ketchup. Can I have thanks for that burger and fries. Can I have some ketchup?
That was 77.
What? How do you decide how many people...
I don't make the rules.
How many ketchup you can have?
I don't make the rules. 75 cents for 3 packs of ketchup, that's it.
Whatever. There you go.
That. Come on, you couldn't give me 75 cents, you have to give me a whole dollar?
Yes, that's all I have.
Well, you're not giving your change back, that's great.
Come on, you're...
I'm not giving you any more.
Thanks, whatever.
I do want to thank the Peaceful Solutions for being here and for your time. I hope that the staff really, really embrace this. And I definitely, you know, I enjoyed it. It's just so important for us to make sure that whatever was taught here, we take it personal. How can we change? What do we need to strengthen ourselves with? What do we need? How can I make this place better or myself better. I've learned a lot about myself, and hopefully, like, reading it and applying it is going to make us do something.
Praise Yahweh. So the lady that you just saw speaking was the director of that facility, and the picture that you saw was the last day with the supervisors of all the people there. Anyway, if you'll all please stand at this time. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great future priest, Ephraim.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone! Hold on. Alright. We recently went to a place called... Oh, by the way, you may be seated. I'm sorry about that. So anyway, we went to a place called Laredo. Alright. We went to a place called Workforce Solutions, as you saw on the video. Can you please turn over to Deuteronomy 28, verse 6 through 7. Blessed will you be, and it says, blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. Blessed will you be when you go into these places, and blessed will you be when you go out to teach the people, like everywhere. We went, Yahweh will cause your enemies to rise up against you, to be defeated in front of you. They will come out against you and from one direction, but flee from you in seven directions. So, remember, wanted workers with positive character in Laredo, Texas. Now, with that, I'd like to turn it over to the great future priest, White Buffalo. The great future priest, White Buffalo Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone, again. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. So, as you heard, we went to Laredo, Texas. We went to Laredo, Texas, and we went to a place called Workforce Solutions. Right there, that's their logo. In South Texas. And to give you a little bit of information about Workforce Solutions. Workforce Solutions is a government agency, and what it does, it trains people to do certain jobs and put them in those jobs if they want to be employed or get a job. And so we went there and we taught some of those people. We left on 7/22/2014 at 12 o'clock a.m. around noon, and we taught the workplace manual, the moral excellence in the workplace. We taught it for 2 days. We taught four chapters on the first day and three chapters on the last day, I think. And So we taught this because the manager, the director that you saw speaking there on that video, she said that she wants all the employees to use this program. And she basically said, she was speaking and she basically said that she said, I don't want you to take it like, oh no, I'm your director, she's here. But she said, I want you to take it as friends. I want you to take it as peers. And we need to learn this together, is what she basically said. Praise Yahweh. Then there was another woman that was there, and she said that she said that she saw spirituality involved in this. And so, as we all know, the peaceful solution is Yahweh's laws. And so there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The peaceful solution is Yahweh's laws. And make sure, keep in mind, keep studying, coming to the classes and different things like that, so you too can go out and teach this dying world the peaceful solution. And with that, I have the great honor and privilege to present to you great future priest Deacon Melchizedek Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. As you can see in the world today, you see chaos, crime, violence, bullying in the workplace and in the schools and so on. And the world's solution is to make more laws, put more people in jail, hire more police, put up more surveillance cameras. But these things do not work. And as you've heard, we went to Laredo, Texas, and we taught the peaceful solution, moral excellence in the workplace, as you can see here. We taught out of this book, and out of all the subjects that we taught, there was three of them that I liked best. And it was wanted workers with a positive character, ask more than a three-letter word, and management leads with character. Now, no one wants an uncaring, unresponsible employee, so that's why we need employees with a positive moral character. And some positive character traits are educated, respectful, patient, honest, humble, thankful, forgiving, steadfast, self-control, compassion, considerate, responsible. And employers request positive character from prospective employees looking for responsible, caring workers. Hard workers with a positive ethic are needed and are examples that you are more likely to come across. People with a positive character possessing traits like self-control, respect, and honesty are what make healthy, productive work environments and are successful. And the honesty part, no one wants, like, if you're on a work site, for them to steal the tools or things like this. That's why they want positive character. And they want people to practice self-control and not to control their anger and things like this, and to practice respect. And so everyone, please stand. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker, future priest Deacon Abba Shalom Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today I'm going to talk about the recent trip. As you know, we taught the workplace manual, and it was a very engaging class. You know, I sat there, and the teachers, they were very, very attentive, and so they were even shaking their heads. They were giving examples of how it could help in their workplace. We taught the employees, all the supervisors, and even the director. Now, this workforce solutions, they give people jobs and they get people prepared for the workplace. They give them jobs and they deal with the unemployment and stuff. And they teach people what to do whenever they get in the workplace, and they get them prepared. Okay, and whenever we were there, we taught them, we showed them, like, the lessons in the book. We showed them how to teach the lessons, okay? We showed them how to teach it, the different procedures, and we showed, we actually taught it to them as well, okay? Because remember, this book right here, it's part of getting them ready for the workplace, okay? This is part of getting them ready. Now, character education is needed in every form of society, okay? The workplace, schools, it's needed everywhere, okay? And that's why it was so important to teach this in the workplace. And we gave them the books, and they were shown how to teach it so that they can teach it to those that they're dealing with, okay? So study the workplace manual. You know, it breaks things down a lot easier. Like the STOP acronym, it goes into more detail. It breaks it down a lot easier for you. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to future priest Deacon Yaakov.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I'll be continuing about... I'll continue talking about the latest missionary trip we went on. We taught two groups of workers the workplace manual, then the one group of leaders, or the people in charge of the place, and then we taught for 2 days. If you turn to Deuteronomy 28, verse 6 and 7... Deuteronomy 28, 6 and 7, it says, "Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. When we go out and teach these people Yahweh's laws, we will be protected." Yahweh shows that. If you turn to Psalms 91, Yahweh shows here that we will be protected. Verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's the cover. It's protection. Go down to verse 9. It says, "Because you have made Yahweh your refuge, because you have made the Most High your house, the house of Yahweh, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his malachim charge concerning you to keep and to protect you." See that word there, protect? To protect you in all your ways. Now, so you see there that Yahweh will protect us. That's only if we keep his laws, then we will have the mark of Yahweh, which are the Sabbaths and the feast days. If we keep Yahweh's laws and we're at the house of Yahweh, he will protect us. Now, remember, even if you don't go on the missionary trips, you don't have to load up into a bus to go on the missionary, or to do the missionary work. It's through teaching. That's all we have to do. Now, we acted out two scenarios there, as you saw in the video. And remember, Yahweh will protect us. You are doing the work when you teach Yahweh's laws to the people. So if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great deacon, Shlomo Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about teaching in the workplace. As you heard, we were teaching out of the new book that came out, which is Moral Excellence in the Workplace. And I encourage everyone to get that book. Get this book, because it's a very great book, and it has a lot of information in it that we need to know. Now, as we taught the people, they were very interested in the classes, because this is actually the workplace that we're teaching them. And we told them how to do it the right way. And then we taught the leaders and we taught the workers, and then we taught the leaders about leadership. If you have the book, I'm going to be on page 154. And it says, correction at its best is helpful and promotes understanding and growth. As an effective manager, one of your goals should be to help employees improve rather than to insult or discourage them from growing. Keep in mind that correction should only be used as a learning, guiding tool, and not one that breaks down or devalues. And this is what we were doing. When we were teaching them, we were showing them the right way. We were telling them how they were going in the wrong way up until this time, and we were showing them the right way so that they can use it in their workplace. And then on page 158, it says, don't make an employee feel small or worthless. He already knows he messed up. You don't need to constantly remind him, but sincerely help him fix the problem. There's always a positive way to voice an opinion. As leaders, you want to encourage and motivate others to do their best rather than trying to shame them into complying. It is easy to act out of frustration, but it takes a lot more strength of character to stop and think about a response that is positive and helpful. And this is what we were showing them. We weren't putting them down or anything, but we were showing them the right way to conduct themselves so that they can use this in their environment and the employees would stay in the workplace, because they actually train the employees. So they need to train them in the right way. And with that, if everyone will please stand, I have the privilege and honor to turn it over to the great future priest, Deacon Yisrael.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. As you've heard, we had the opportunity to go on another missionary trip, and we taught from the workplace manual. We taught the employees and supervisors. They were taught all the lessons that are in the workplace manual. On the first day, we taught them lessons 1 through 4. Chapter 1 is Wanted Workers with Positive Character, and we taught them the difference between character and personality, and we taught them some positive and negative character traits. Chapter 2 is Self-Control, the Essential Ingredient to a Successful Work Environment, and we taught them from that chapter what self-control is and how you can change negative thoughts to positive thoughts. Chapter 3, Mine, Yours, Theirs, Ownership in the Workplace, and we taught them about accepting others' decisions. And Chapter 4, Ask More Than Just a Three-Letter Word, and we taught them the importance of asking. And we taught them those four chapters on the first day. There were two groups, one in the morning and then one in the afternoon. The supervisors also attended, as I said. And the next day, we taught them Chapters 5, which is Respect, Give It Freely. And we taught them about respect. And without respect, our interactions could be hurtful, inconsiderate, and we had a few scenarios for that chapter. Chapter 6, Responsibility Brings Results, and we taught them how responsibility is needed in the workplace and in every job, and includes completing tasks to the best of your ability and with a positive attitude, and to be a team player. Chapter 7, Honesty in the Workplace, and how taking credit for someone else's job is actually being dishonest. And then Chapter 8 was taught to the supervisors, and that's Management Leads with Character. And those were taught on the second day. Now, we made the classes interactive with scenarios, and we acted out scenarios from the book. And in the room, there were signs that said, quality, doing it right the first time. And we should try to do things right the first time so we don't have to keep going back and doing things over and over again. And so remember these things, and I encourage you all to read the Workplace Manual. It's a really awesome book. And with that, if you'll all please stand, I have the great honor and privilege to present to you the great future priest, Deacon Tawakia Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you.
Now, today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the moral principles, you know, the ones that are lacking in our society today. You look around in society, you look around the world, you see the moral values, the moral principles that our overseer was raised on. You know, asking, things like this, the simple morals that have been lost. Okay, and these are the things that Pastor was raised on, and these things are slowly and slowly going away. Well, the peaceful solution is bringing them back. If you look in the workplace manual, in page K, it's on how to use this book. It actually talks about how it brings these moral principles back. I don't have time to read it, but I encourage everyone to, it's a book that just recently came out, so go back and read that, because it has some very great information on the workplace and things like this, and it has things that you can use in your day-to-day life. Now, from the peaceful solution, moral values are like a line that separates wrong behavior from right behavior. And that's the same thing that has been taught from the beginning, since the 80s, even before that, whenever, since Pastor's been teaching this in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, because, as we know, because of the way mankind has chosen in these last days, they've chosen to go their own way, a way that brings death and sorrow and misery, we see that it's brought death. We see that it's brought conflicts. And those conflicts lead to bigger conflicts, which are called wars. And what's the end result of that? Death. That's the end result of that. And we can see because of the way that they chose to get rid of these basic things that the peaceful solution is bringing back, this is what it has brought. And they rejected these things in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7 through 9. And as we know, that's where the people came to Samuel and said that they want a king, because they didn't want Yahweh to rule over them. And in verse 7, Yahweh told Samuel that they haven't rejected Samuel, but they rejected Yahweh. That's what they did there. And then Yahweh warned them what would occur if they continued in their way. So remember, get back, read the books as much as possible, and keep these moral principles. Don't let them slip away from you, because that is what is causing the degrading of the world around us. And with that, if you all please stand, I have the great opportunity to turn it over to future priest Zebulun.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I want to be talking a little bit out of the workplace manual too, but I want to be talking about page 113. It's all about attitude. Everything we do, every work environment we get, anything that we start doing, our goals or anything, it all has attitude plays an important role in everything. If you get a job, let's say, if you get a job at the milk barn and the supervisor comes and you turn the cow into a hamburger, I don't think it's going to work over well. Or if you're at the cafeteria and someone orders maybe like fried chicken and you send them out a soft taco, it ain't going to work. But your attitude has to be, you have to have a positive attitude. You have to be willing to serve whenever you're given a job to do. You have to be willing to serve. Now, a positive attitude doesn't mean think that you're better than everybody else. It doesn't mean like if you come up here to speak, you come up here like, oh, it is an honor and privilege for all y'all to hear me speak right now. And that's not a positive attitude. That's conceited. So we need to have a positive attitude and doing everything that we can to the best of our ability. On page 113, it says, being responsible in your work environment also means having the right attitude. So you have to be responsible as well. Every character trait plays in to making everything go successful, because everyone wants to be successful in their life. Also, another thing that helps, setting goals. Whenever you do something, set in your mind that you're going to do whatever you can to make everybody else's day joyful. Like whenever the great overseer comes out here, he always comes out, he has a smile on his face, and he's ready to serve, and he's joyful to be able to come out here and see the saints of Yahweh out here rejoicing to see him all on the Sabbath day, and he loves doing it, and he has the right attitude about it. So we all need to be keeping that in mind. Have the right attitude about whatever you do, and make sure your attitude is positive. Don't Don't be thinking about other things. Keep your mind on the work. Work, work, work. And keep your mind on it. Set your mind that that's what you're going to do. And that's all the time I have for you this morning. And if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Yisrael David Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. Please be seated. I'll be hitting a little bit, speaking a little bit on study and just what we should be studying. Quickly, if you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it's a scripture we all should know very well. Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the laws, and the prophets. Now notice it says to study. And when we study, we become approved by Yahweh. But I want you to notice something there. You're approved by Yahweh. You don't go and approve yourself. And that goes back into being conceited like Zebulun was talking about. So, if you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 18, or chapter 10 and verse 18, it says, "For it is not the man who commends himself who is approved, but the man whom Yahweh commends." So we know we have to study and we have to be approved by Yahweh. So, how do we become approved by Yahweh? What should we study? Now, this doesn't require some kind of fancy degrees from the schools of higher learning out in the world. It, of course, requires that we study the peaceful solution and the message that Yahweh has brought out. So, if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "For when the world, with all its earthly wisdom, failed to know Yahweh, it pleased Yahweh by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe." Notice that the world, with all its earthly wisdom, that knowledge that you're going to get from the schools of higher learning, it failed to know Yahweh. And of course, that's the reason we see the mess that's in the world today. That's the reason we see STDs in the firmament destroying the firmament. That's the reason we see millions and millions of people dying because of sicknesses and disease. Verse 26. "For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But Yahweh has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and Yahweh has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." So all these fancy things that you're going to learn out in the schools of higher learning is not going to help you here in the house of Yahweh. But notice how simple the peaceful solution is. Basic moral principles that everyone can agree on. Everyone can agree on. Even a child can understand it. Yet the elite, the people that rule the world and are supposed to be our leaders, supposed to be leading us in the right direction, they're groping for answers, they're confused, they don't know how to solve the problems that they're having in the world and asking for help. So, we, the unlearned and ignorant of the world, are going to be teaching the world. We're going to be teaching these high elite leaders how to solve their problems. We're going to bring them back to the basics and show them how to solve all their problems. Praise Yahweh. So what should we be studying? The peaceful solution, the book of Yahweh, the books of Israel, all the messages that, all the literature and the message the pastor is bringing out in order so that we can confound the wisdom of the world and solve all their problems. So study these things and you will be approved by Yahweh to teach the people. If you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Samuel.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. You know, today you've been seeing this book a lot, so I encourage you to get it. The Workplace Manual is truly one of the newest book that we've received. And, you know, brothers and sisters, the Workplace Manual has the same foundation as the rest of the books that the Peaceful Solution offers. And what is that foundation? Brothers and sisters, it's built upon Yahweh's laws, those morals, those rules. You know, the things that you see in this Workplace Manual, if you go back and actually, if you have the book, you know, go through it and you'll notice things in there that you've read previously in other books. Like one thing you probably notice when you read this book where it says two wrongs do not make a right. You know, these simple things like these, you know, are in here as the same book. So you can really rely on the core teachings on what the Peaceful Solution has to offer. So, you know, brothers and sisters, if you can teach the other books, the other junior high series, the kindergarten series, brothers and sisters, you can teach this Workplace Manual. The only difference The only difference that you may see in the workplace, man, is the different scenarios and where the environment is stressing upon, which is the workplace. But brother says the core teachings of the peaceful solution is there. Just to write down your notes on page 85, you know, because we were teaching teachers, we were teaching leaders to be teaching others, like what Deacon David said. But on page 85 on the workplace manual, on the quote in the bottom, it says, "True leaders are those who can show respect to others." You know, it's noticed there that can actually show respect to others, not a leader that can say, "Oh, you respect me now." No, that's not a leader. A leader, a true positive leader, can show respect to others, even when others are being disrespectful to them. You know, and you can see on the words and the expressions of these supervisors and the co-workers how they were glad the information that we brought out. But, you know, brothers and sisters, are we not trained to be positive leaders? Brothers and sisters, are we not trained to be positive leaders? Praise Yahweh. So I encourage you, if you don't have the book, get the book. You know, because there's a section there on how to be a positive leader. Praise Yahweh. If you all please stand. I'd like to now turn over to the great Deacon Tovia.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. Today I want to continue along here talking about unity. Because, you know, the world, they don't have any unity. They don't even really understand the concept of what unity is. But here in the House of Yah, you know, we've been taught what is unity, how to become in unity with this chosen branch here in the last days. Okay? But unity is the state of being united or joined as a whole group. Okay? And, you know, we can see throughout the scriptures where there's examples of how the prophets of Yahweh were brought into unity, how the people of Yahweh were brought into unity. And, you know, this world, they're being taught a lot of disunity at every turn. There's wars and fighting and take it. And if it's, you know, if you want it, just take it, you know, causing that disunity. But I'd like to read a scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:10. It's found on page 887. And it says, "Now I appeal to you, brothers, by the authority of our King Yeshua, that you all speak the same thing." Okay? Speak the same thing. "And that there will be no, divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought." Now, we have the Holy Scriptures. We all know that this is the true unity of Yahweh taught by our Last Day's Witness, correct? Okay, but the world, they don't really have this book of Yahweh. So what do we have for them to teach them this unity? It's the peaceful solution, okay? Through the character traits, teaching them what the positive character traits are and the values, what they should be valuing, you know? Number one on your values should not be entertainment, okay? Also teaching them what are positive goals that they can set for each other, set for one another, and set for themselves. This is how we're teaching them to become in unity with this last day's work, okay, through this peaceful solution. And, you know, one thing about unity is if you ever have a doubt of disunity, like, you know, that you're thinking, stomp it out. Don't let it grow, okay, because disunity is a very big, it can become a very big problem, okay? Use the stop acronym, you know? Don't let it grow, okay? Because Yahweh's house, Yahweh says we are going to become in unity. And if you're not in unity with this last day's branch, you simply won't be there. You know, Yisrael Hawkins, our Last Day's Witness, has said time and time again, time is short. We don't have much time, okay? So with this, you know, remember everything you're being taught, the peaceful solution, keep studying, keep up the great work. And make sure that you're in unity with the Last Day's Witness, because he is truly the Last Day's Witness, and he is truly the only one that can teach us this unity of Yahweh. And with this, I'll turn it over to the great Deacon David.
Shalom again. Please be seated. I took the opportunity to look up the dates that we were there in this workforce training. And it's Hebrew and Strong's word 723. And also 724. And 723 came up as a herding place, as in feeding and to pluck and to gather, which is what we're doing. That's exactly what's taking place with these people that we're teaching out in the world, that we, the house of Yahweh as a whole, are teaching. Number 724 was from 748, and it's restoring to soundness, wholeness, health, health perfected, and to draw out, to make live long. These are some of the things that these words held, and you'll probably hear more about this momentarily. But I wanted you to see the schedule. I don't know if it was really stressed how tight of a schedule this was. This is the actual agenda that the director had. She gave it to us. And there it is, the Workforce Solutions. And on the first day, it shows where we went all the way from 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon and the different classes in between. And then the next day, the classes, and we ended up at 5 o'clock p.m. The last class was strictly the supervisors, and that's, again, the picture that you saw. These supervisors were really impressed with this, and we had an opportunity to actually sit down and talk with them and stress to them the need to stick with the book. In their training of others, stressing, stick with the book. Not this book isn't for them just to take a few little tidbits out of here and there that they think are kind of neat and use it. It's to use the entire book from start to finish and to stay with the lesson plans. That was stressed throughout the entire day. If they didn't get anything else, I'm sure they got that point because it was stressed pretty heavy. Now, we had an opportunity to interview them and get an idea of how they felt about different things. And we're not going to talk about all those right now, but one of those was the minimum wage. You know, there's a controversy throughout the United States right now about minimum wage. Should we raise it? Should it not be raised? And, you know, there's so many different opinions about this. And interestingly enough, here at the Workforce Center, which back in my day they called it the Unemployment Office, Employment Security Division, and now they've morphed into this now, which sounds a little more politically correct. They're doing a great job, though. I could see a lot of people there on the computers getting training and trying to get these jobs. But we had this opportunity to ask them about that, and amazingly, there was about half that was for raising the minimum wage and about half that was against raising the minimum wage. And just listening to them, both sides sounded kind of plausible. You know, one said, well, if we raise the minimum wage, it'll be harder to place these people in lower paying jobs. And maybe the owners won't hire them. They'll do more themselves. And then the other one said, well, no, we've got to have the higher paying jobs so these people can have a living wage so they can support their families. You know, and both of those sound kind of reasonable. The answers are in the Peaceful Solution Character Education. See, this Workforce Solutions is not just for the employees, but it's for the owners and the supervisors too. It's for the entire workplace. And so if you have owners that show care and concern for their employees, they're going to have a living wage where they can support their families. If you have employees that show care and concern, they're going to be willing to take what they get and be satisfied with it and make it work as best as they can. Now, in the newsletter, the last newsletter, July 2014, let me show you the cover here, July 2014 newsletter, Pastor says, he gives the answer to it all right here and why there's so many differences of opinions on this. And it goes into, he's talking about on page 7, the confusion. He says, these are all caused by sin. Sin causes confusion. All confusion is mind-altering so that no one thinks clearly. The more the sins, the greater the buildup of harmful microorganisms, the greater the confusion, and the smaller the amount of love that remains when making decisions. So you see, even when dealing with employees and employers, the love grows cold. The confusion is out there, and it makes it hard to make a decision. And it comes down to, over on page 6, Pastor points out that people sin and they think they got away without harm, but they don't understand the workings of these microorganisms, the microorganisms that are constantly at work in and outside of our bodies. So we're bringing them in little by little. We're pulling them out. We're teaching them. And remember, the purpose of the Peaceful Solution is to introduce the students to the concept of moral principles, the laws of Yahweh. And that is the laws of Yahweh in a way that they can understand it. It was a great joy and honor to be able to speak with you today. And if you'll all please stand, it's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kahan Tobiah Hawkins.
Great job. Thank you, David. You may all be seated. So we're talking about the workplace, and I'd like to read start out with an article. It's in the Crossville Chronicle. It's a town in Tennessee. It was July 17th. It's called "The Workforce Obstacles to Growth." It says in this article they met. They're going to have three meetings. They already met twice, and they're talking about taxes and other things, the environment, and their biggest obstacle is the growth on unskilled and unmotivated workforce. So unmotivated. What do you think would help them the most? The workforce manual. Yeah, exactly. This manual right here. It says, we encounter a lot of problems with the workforce. A human resource person was talking about in the article. He says, for decades, the force of high school education has been geared towards preparing students for 4 years degree path. The underlayment message has been translated as the only way to find success is through the universities. And we can see, when I read more, that the cost of the university, the tuition rates, and the fees of these schools have risen 1,120% since 1978. The average debt loan of a college graduate is more than $29,000. According to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, of the $1.2 trillion in outstanding student debt loans in the United States, an estimated 7 million Americans have already defaulted on a total of $1 billion, with tens of thousands more borrowers defaulting each year. So back to this message that the four-year degree, you know, this new message is going to be the Peaceful Solution, the workforce manual, because we need to get it out there, because they're asking for it. They see the problem, but they don't know the answer, and are we going to bring it to them? Yes. Praise Yahweh. Okay. It says, the fact of the matter is, for the jobs tomorrow, it's really going to be necessary for our young folks to have some type of post-secondary education. So they're asking for it, but they don't know what they want. They just want some post-secondary education. So what is our job? To teach them, to bring this message to them, to bring this literature, to get this Peaceful Solution education booklet out there to them. So don't just say in your mind that you're going to do something. Take action and actually do it, okay? Praise Yahweh. It says, we got to do a better job at communicating what the tools are. So they've got the tools, but they've got the wrong tools. They think it's in a higher education, which, you know, pastors brought out and other cons have brought out, that when they go for a certain degree, it's like 50% of the people don't go into that line of business. They're either at McDonald's or a fast food joint. It says every community in the nation is dealing with a workforce development issue. The question is not that we have a problem, but what we are going to do to address it. So they're asking the question. So we need to get out there and answer their question. Give them the answer, because we have the answer, okay? The community that fixes this problem is going to keep their local business and industrials and is going to be a better position to attract them. Okay, so they're asking for you to go out there and help them. All right, and let me go over a few things in the workshop that will help us and help them also. And you can see that the downward spiral of the economy and where they're saying the lack of motivation is. It says, it's on page 113, it says, a poor attitude at work can manifest in poor decision-making and irresponsible behavior. So if you have a poor attitude, which if these people in the universities have got this lesson and were able to get this information, they would see that their responsibility in the workplace is much more than just getting paid. It's finding joy. It's having respect for the job that you're given to, that you're given. When you agree to work for a company or organization, whether as a supervisor or as a housekeeper, you agree to accept all the responsibilities that are part of the position you are hired for. You become obligated to fulfill your duties to the best of your abilities. Having a poor attitude in regards to what is expected of you leads to a downward spiral affecting your job performance and negatively influence others around you. And you see that in the workforce today. People get upset because they don't get what they want. They get an answer. They ask for, you know, a better position, an office with a window view, you know, whatever it is, and they don't get it. But there's a reason why, because of their poor attitude. In this book, it teaches you how to overcome that and make right decisions. It says attitudes really do have a lot to do with your choices we make in our work environment. When you are hired for a position, regardless of what position it may be, maintain a positive attitude. So that's what we need to remember, is make sure we have that positive attitude. And let me read in Proverbs 4 on page 498 in the closing. It says, "Hear, O children, the instructions of Yahweh. Pay attention so you may grow in understanding." And that's what we're here for, to grow in this understanding, this message that Pastor is bringing forth, that Yahweh has given to him to bring forth in these last days to bring to the people. "For I have given you sound doctrine, so do not forsake my laws." So we need to make sure that we're getting this message and we're acting upon it. We're just not sitting here idly, and we're actually doing something about it, okay? So with that, I'd like to go ahead and turn it over to the great Con Sophania Heimerman Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Shalom. You may be seated. As you've heard a lot already about the moral excellence in the workplace, we did really have a very enjoyable time teaching this part of the Peaceful Solution. And for the next couple minutes here, I'd like to go into the Scriptures, because we know that all knowledge is contained within the Scriptures. Yahweh put it there. It's what mankind has rejected, but will bring mankind success. And we know that we've heard Pastor mention the sunshine. We've heard him mention the salt, just as two examples. And then later, the science comes out, the news reports backing up what's in the Holy Scriptures. So in looking at this presentation here today, thinking, well, there has to be an example in the Scriptures of how this moral excellence in the workplace comes about. You know, businesses and employers, they spend a lot of time and effort trying to find success and getting successful employees. They want to increase the bottom dollar. You know, they want the outcome to be greater. You know, that's, of course, what they're in business for. So they spend a lot of time and effort into trying to hire the right person for the job. You know, you see them advertising and, you know, this is what we need, this person in this field and so forth. So that's where a lot of their effort is, in trying to find the right person for the job. Well, let's look at the Scriptures. Now, Yeshua was a supervisor. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." He had a job to do, and he needed workers. So let's see how he advertised here. Let's see his interviewing of the men that he chose to help him do this great work. If you turn over to Matithia chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 18 through 22. You know, and I want you to pay attention to what Yeshua did here and what we just mentioned on how businesses today, they spend so much effort trying to find the right person for the job. Matithia chapter 4, verses 18. While Yeshua was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Kepha and his brother Andrew, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen by trade. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Okay, so you see somewhat of a relationship there. You know, I would almost consider that a complete professional change, if you would. So they immediately left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, Jacob and his brother Yochanan, sons of Zabdia, mending their nets in a ship with Zabdia their father, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So what special talents and ability did they have? You know, of course we could say, well, with fishing you have to be patient, right? Sometimes the fish just aren't going to bite, and you have to practice patience. So we could say, yeah, they had patience. They probably had some self-control. You know, you hook a big one and you get it up to the boat and your line snaps, or it gets off. You know, you'll maybe want to take your pole and throw it in the water, but of course then you're done fishing for the day. So they probably had some of the positive character traits here that we all value. But Yeshua called them to be what? To be teachers. He called them to teach. Now, I don't know if they had a local speech class at the Fisherman's Club. I highly doubt it. But he called them to do a job. Now, remember, others in the Scripture, they said, "Yahweh, I'm not an eloquent teacher. Are you sure you want me to do this job? I've never been since you called me, and I think there might be someone better else suited for this job." And Yahweh said, "No, you know, you're going to do the job. You know, you're the right one." So look at the correlation here with Yeshua and how he got his employees that were going to help him be about his father's business. Let's look over at Matithia chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Yeshua had a workplace program. He was an example of teaching moral excellence in the workplace. If you look at Matithia chapter 9, 37 through 38, he taught them. He was their example. Now remember, they didn't have many of these qualities. It's not like they had a whole bunch of skills and talents that they came with, but Yeshua did something. Now, in verse 37, Matithia chapter 9, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the chief harvester that he will send out laborers into the harvest." So, not only were they feeling a little bit behind on their job qualifications, but then he told them, "You're going to have a big workload to handle as well. You know, you might be doing something that you really don't think you're qualified for." Okay, well, let's look over at Matithia chapter 14, because sometimes not only does the workload seem great, but it seems impossible. It seems like we just can't handle it. Matithia chapter 14, verses 14 through 21. Now keep in mind, this was their workplace training that the disciples went through. Well, feeding of the 5,000. That would seem like a very impossible task, right? With only a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. "When Yeshua went out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, and he healed the sick. And when it was becoming evening, his disciples said to him, 'This is a deserted place, and the day is almost over. Send the multitude away so that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food.' But Yeshua said to them, 'They do not have to leave. You give them something to eat.'" So here the workload just increased for them. Here's where they're thinking, "Well, again, this doesn't fit my job description. You know, I came here to assist you, Yeshua. I'm not sure about feeding all these people. You know, how are we going to get this done?" But he taught them, look for the ways to get it done. Don't look at the task as impossible.
focus your concentration and your effort on how you're going to do it. And he gave them the great example, and he was the great supervisor here in this workplace program that he had. Well, let's jump ahead a few thousand years to what we call maybe the last days, to another workplace program that's taking place. And let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. One of the deacons read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Because I'm not sure if all of us were perfect teachers already, if we had that in our job description when we came and were called. But Yahweh said, "For you see your calling, you see your calling, how that not many wise men according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But Yahweh has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And Yahweh has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." So in this great effort that businesses and employers put countless hours and dollars into finding the right person to the job for the job, the success or the secret is not finding the right person for the job, but developing the right character in the people that will be doing the job. May Yahweh bless you. Your job description just got a little bit bigger. So at this time, I'd like to turn over to the great Kahan, Kananya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. Before I get started, I wanted to read a classified ad that I pulled out of the local paper here. It said, "Help wanted. Intergalactic company looking to hire people for various lifetime positions. Candidate must be willing to travel, work long hours, serve with a positive attitude, be responsible and accountable for their actions, trustworthy to work by themselves and with others, follow instructions to the letter, ask for guidance, and be a problem solver. Job includes training, the best compensation plan in the world, full health benefits, advancement opportunities, keys to the kingdom, and much, much more. If you're interested in having an enjoyable position with this company that has a long history of success, ask at Able. Call, praise Yahweh, 1-800-613-9494. Today. Does everybody have the mindset that we are here to serve, right? We are here to serve. And we are here to serve not merely ourselves, but one another. And those who have not even yet been called to the house yet. Now, we know that people are training, people are hearing the message of the kingdom being preached and so forth. And we know, according to prophecy, there's going to be about 2 billion people that come out of this great tribulation. But right now is our time to really grasp hold of the opportunity that Yahweh has presented for us, because it's only a very minute number of people who Yahweh has called to be a part of this great kingdom that is going to be the ones who govern throughout the universe with Yahweh, Yahshua, the one sent forever. And that's our opportunity. I think we have to sometimes sit back and grasp it and allow it to just kind of simmer in our minds to appreciate the blessing that Yahweh has given us. But we have to keep our mind on that and take it very seriously. I have a question for you. I have a couple questions. The first question is, what makes us different from the world? Besides for the fact that Yahweh's called us, what makes us different from the world? Okay, our character. Teachings, okay, that goes with it. Teachings, we are educated. And something else, the peaceful solution, our choice, right? We choose it. We've been taught it because many have been taught throughout the years of the history, the 6,000-year history of mankind, the laws of Yahweh. They've had an opportunity, but only those who stuck with it were the ones that chose it. And that's what Yahweh wants to see. He wants to see what is in our heart. What is our desire? And desire is it can be a very, very, very powerful thing. In fact, a lot of the scientists say that if you're wanting to train your mind and to develop a new habit or to accomplish a goal, if you would have that goal set in your mind and couple it with a strong emotion, it plants it deeper in your subconscious mind. And our subconscious mind is a huge memory storage bank, but it also is like it works to serve us. It works to help to bring things to pass, help us to accomplish goals. In fact, it bumps things back to us when we need it, when we're least thinking about it. As long as we're putting things in there that are righteous, it's going to help us achieve those righteous goals. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And Moshe said to the people, he said, "I call heaven and earth as witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choice." And throughout all eternity, we're going to have that free moral agency to make our own choice. But by the time we make it in the kingdom, we will have already proved ourselves obedient to Yahweh, that we will always choose righteousness. So you are free moral agents, or free agents, to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life. That's what Yahweh wants us to do. Choose life so both you and your children may live. The laws of Yahweh are the things that bring life. As we were saying to someone in regards to the laws, it's an automatic thing. The judgments, they're already set in the laws of Yahweh. So if you want to have health, if you want to have peace, you want to have joy and abundant living, then keep the laws, the rules. Remember, as one of the speakers talked about, the peaceful solution or the laws of Yahweh is that dividing line that separates between right and wrong. So if you want to do right, abide by the laws. And then you will have these things with you. One of the things the world is, I think about it kind of like when we are dealing with, when you're working with children. Everybody's worked with children. And I know that all children are quiet, peaceful bundles of joy, right? They never run across tables and scream and throw themselves on the floor or cause embarrassment when you're in a public place. At least we never did that when we were children, right? But it requires patience, right? And Yahweh is very patient with us. But in dealing with children, I know from my own personal standpoint and watching from others that a child can be acting up and twisting and going to town and pulling all over his mother and saying no to the teacher. But once Abba shows up, it's a whole different story, right? And that is the way we were when we were in the house of Yahweh, when we were in the world. You know, we rejected the laws of Yahweh. We weren't taught them, but we were rejecting them nonetheless. We weren't keeping them. And we were a bunch of rebellious, stubborn brats out there. But then when our father showed up, we straightened up. We got our acts together. Praise Yahweh. And in the world, if you remember the prophecy that says there will be a voice behind you that says this is the way, walk you in it. That's what we're going to be like to the people who come out of this great tribulation. Because you have to consistently guide someone. You can't just tell a person, just like you can't tell a child once, to not do this or to do that and expect them to continue to carry it on. It has to be consistently done until it becomes a part of their character. Remember Yahshua, it was 48 generations to bring that man forth, a long period of time. So we can't raise the expectation too high when we look at our children and see they're not developing a certain characteristic and get frustrated with them. It takes time. And it's going to take time with the world, and Yahweh's going to give us plenty of time, 1,000 years, in fact, to train and teach them in righteousness. Now, my next question is, as I get ready to wrap it up, what is righteous? What is righteous? This is a pretty basic, pretty simple question. What is righteous? What is righteous? The laws of Yahweh, right? Now, my next question is, what is righteousness? Keeping Yahweh's laws, right? So the laws of Yahweh are righteous. Keeping Yahweh's laws is righteousness. Now you can write for your notes. I know you have that memorized. Deuteronomy 6:25, which says, it will be our righteousness. It will be attributed to us as righteousness when we keep the laws of Yahweh. Point being said behind that, and I remind you again, Yahweh has given us everything that we need to be able to fulfill our jobs, to be topped in our positions, to be the greatest in this great kingdom that he is forming here. Remember how greatness was measured. It was measured by righteousness. But we have to take the food or the information, the knowledge that's given to us, and apply it in our lives to be the righteous peacemakers, the sons and daughters of Yahweh, who are fully equipped to stand in our place and to go throughout the world and the universe with the one sent, of course, or being sent with authority from the one sent to bring peace to all mankind. Now, do you think you can do that? Great. You really think you can do it? Okay. All right. Praise Yahweh. I'm just making sure you're awake. Praise Yahweh. Well, go forth in righteousness and the zeal of Yahweh, and Yahweh is with you. He gives you strength to do it. Trust in Him and know that His will be accomplished through you in these last days. Now, if we'll all please stand, we'll continue with our speaking. I'll turn it over to the great Kahan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So, you know, this past school year, we've taught over 38,000 students the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. So, you know, our work was done for the summer. We're going to kick back and, you know, go, get one of those drinks with an umbrella and kick back and lay back till next school year, right? Wrong. Our work never ends. We have job security all four seasons, 365 days a year. So as I was pondering vacation, I remembered that vacate means an empty spot in your life. And I decided that, no, yeah, it's hot. Yeah, it's 100 plus degrees, but we need to keep this thing rolling because the work of Yahweh never ends. So the workplace manual had just come out, and it's a great blessing. I'm going to tell you the work, the minds that put that thing together, and all the labor that went into that, even the binding, the press room, all those things. Yahweh really has blessed us with the greatest talents on the face of the earth. I'm telling you right now. Really, really awesome. So Workforce Solutions South Texas in Laredo, I took the workforce manual over there. And I'd been there before, but I didn't have anything that said workplace on it. So, you know, they took a look at it. It was a few years back. But they really didn't take it serious because they didn't see anything about a workforce in the self-control book and so on and so forth. So, but in due time, in Yahweh's perfect timing, I'm going to show you how this was perfect timing on Yahweh's part. And that Yahweh has a plan for everything. By the way, the title of my sermonette is called Cast Your Bread. Cast Your Bread. So, sitting in the Workforce Solutions office, waiting to speak to a manager or someone in a supervisor, a position of authority, I ran across this magazine sitting next to me on the seat, and I thought, well, you know, I'd rather read my Peaceful Solution Workplace Manual, but then a name caught my attention. Does anybody remember that lady? Hope Andrade. If you don't remember who she is, I brought a reminder right here. Hope Andrade was a former secretary. In this picture here, she was the Texas Secretary of State. But guess what? Today, she's now Texas Workforce Commission Commissioner. Can you believe that? That Yahweh put her in the right place at the right time. Here she is, picture of her in the magazine, their latest issue of their business magazine from Workforce Solutions Texas. So that really gave me a jolt of energy right there when I saw that. And I met with one of the supervisors. I don't like to call them managers. Manager, by the way, means someone who trains horses, controls horses. Boss is from the Dutch word B-A-A-S, and it means master, you know. And it's funny, when we taught this to the people that were at the workforce center, they said, I don't want to be a boss. I don't want to be a manager. I want to be a supervisor. Supervisor means, super means over. Visor, from the Latin word video, means seer or oversee. Okay, so they said, yeah, we want to oversee. We don't want to be bosses anymore, which was a really great thing. So, spoke with one of the managers there, and she looked at the program and said, man, this is really great. I need to pass this on to the director. Well, a few days later, I got a call to come in. The director wanted to see me. Lo and behold, the director was a former student of the Peaceful Solution. Now, can you imagine that? When I'd seen her before, she was working at a rehab center a couple years before. Now she's in the workforce center. I'm like, how did you get in a workforce center from a rehab? She didn't know, but Yahweh knew. Yahweh puts the right people in the right place at the right time. Okay, and so she already had that foundation. I'm sorry, I don't mean to clap, but for myself especially. But Yahweh had put her there. Now, turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I have to move kind of fast. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I want to encourage everybody, you know, keep working, keep pushing this great work. It says, it's on page 524, Ecclesiastes 11:1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Now skip down to verse 4. He who is always watching the wind does not sow. He who always keeps his eyes on the clouds will not reap. You know, when I see things in the clouds, I see them and it's inspired. I looked up and I see it and I take a picture and I move on. I keep doing my work. Later on at home, I might go through the picture and look through it, but I ain't sitting there all day looking at the clouds to see if I can see Pastor or somebody up there. You wouldn't get anything done, right? You got to keep working. We got to keep pushing this work. Now, verse 5, just as you do not know how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you cannot know how Yahweh works in everything he does. You just never know how that seed that you plant is going to come back, okay? But I guarantee you, every little thing that you do or say has a positive, if it's promoting peace, it's going to have an effect, okay? Yahweh's word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes what he sets it out to accomplish. Look at verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not allow your hands to be idle. You know, don't just be thinking, well, it's, you know, hey, I worked hard all day, you know, I'm just going to kick back now and do nothing. No, pick up your workplace manual, pick up your books, pick up your prophetic word magazine, pick up that newsletter, turn pastor on the television, do something. Do not be idle. Idleness is what gets us in trouble. It's when we're not working and we're not producing is when we get caught up in the snares of Satan. It says, for you do not know whether this or that will turn out well or whether both will be successful. Look to the side note. It says, be not weary of doing well. Be not weary of doing well. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'll give you a page number. It's found on page 914. And we're going to look at, we're going to start at verse 6. But let's read the subtitle. It says, those who are trained in the law should share with those who are learning. Well, who's learning out there in the world? Who's learning? Should we just share it amongst ourselves? No, the whole world needs to be learning these moral principles. So every opportunity, every conversation, every engagement that you have with somebody is an opportunity to share this peaceful solution. That's why we have this card. Right here. You know, you can put this in your suit pocket. You can stuff a bunch of them in your wallet because you don't have any money. You know, it'll make you look rich. You'll feel rich because your wallet's fat, right? I know about mine. You know, pretty thin, right? But hey, you're rich. We're rich in the faith. Look what we got right here, you know? We've got the greatest. This is just the greatest program. I can't even, you know, come on. This is better than gold, than much fine gold. This has a solution to the problems. Try this. It will solve your problem. You know, take it out of your suit pocket, take it out of your wallet and hand it to somebody and tell them, look, everybody has a problem. Some have more than others, speaking for myself. But everyone has a problem and we have the solution to the problem. Hand it to them. Tell them. They may not think anything of it at the moment, but you know what? Later on, they're going to remember. They're going to remember you. Sometimes it's years down the road before you see the results. But don't grow weary. It says, let him who's trained in the law of Yahweh share all righteous things. It doesn't say share everything. It says share all righteous things with those who are learning. thereby contributing to their spiritual support. Don't be deceived. Yahweh's not mocked. Yahweh's not deceived. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh and sits there and watches crime stories all night on television, to his flesh he reaps corruption. It says, for he who sows to Yahweh, from Yahweh will reap everlasting life. And not just everlasting life for yourself, but for others. Don't you want everyone? Yahweh wants everyone to make it. Yahweh is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Yahweh is, this is what he wants. It's what we should want. Now, it says, and let us not grow weary of doing righteousness. For in due time, at the right time, at the set time, we will reap if we don't faint. If we endure to the end and be that bulldog and hang on, don't take vacations. Vacations? In the house of Yahweh? Come on now, come on. Work, work, hurry, work, hurry, work. Pastor said, we'll have time later. Remember what he said at Pentecost? He said, you may work for a month and have the next 11 months off to do what you need to do. Okay, that doesn't mean you're going to be sitting around doing nothing, but you're going to be doing other things that you may enjoy, like building planets, as long as it doesn't knock someone else's out of the sky and interfere with Yahweh's creation. But you're going to have time to do those things. Right now, we need to work. Don't give up. Keep working. Keep working, okay? Therefore, as the opportunity arises, you see that card? As the opportunity arises, let us do righteousness to all, everyone in the world. There's 7 billion people out there. Okay, what are we going to tell Yahshua? Well, Yahshua, I was too busy. I didn't have time to let this person know that, you know, this will solve their problem. Okay, someone wasn't too busy for us. You know, pastor and all the workers here weren't too busy. Especially to those of the members of the family of the faith, the house of Yahweh. So remember, put these in your pocket, put them in your kingly robe, you know? If you like wearing a staff and a kingly robe, put it in there and give it to somebody. But share this as every opportunity arises. And at this time, it's been a pleasure speaking to Yahweh's great saints. Keep up the great job, keep up the work, everything, labor. Even Labor Day, I always used to laugh that they took Labor Day off. I thought labor meant work. Get to work. With that, I'd like to turn it over, Yahweh bless you, to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. You know, continuing along with everyone as a team that went out, and of course, not just those who go out, a team in general known as the House of Yahweh. That's why it's known as the House of Yahweh Missionary Team, because of everyone that's involved. One thing became very readily recognized amongst all of us as we were teaching the workplace program. It was almost like, you know how you see classifieds? You can turn open your local newspaper and you'll see employers wanting to hire someone. And of course, they'll say, wanted responsible individual, you know, caring individual, compassionate individual. In other words, an employer want you to see their cause. And that's why they hire you, and that's truly why they pay you. They want you to care about their cause for that time that you're there. And then you look at how we've come to the House of Yahweh, and it was almost like reading the junior high series and the Building More Excellence was almost like an advertisement. It was a job solicitation, kind of like this is the kind of people that Yahweh wants to do a job. And then the workplace manual, when you go through it, it's like this is the guidelines to working in Yahweh Shema. If you work there, you have to conduct yourself this way. Now, one thing that we should all do is on a very personal level. You yourself. Don't think about your neighbor, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter. Yourself. Think about yourself. When you read the workplace manual, look at yourself as though you're looking in a mirror. Sometimes when I looked at it, it scared me to death. It really did. You see how the little things that we tend to blame other people, how if we would do it exactly how it's taught by Yahweh's house, then we could alleviate the problems. They would go away. We truly have the answers to every problem. It's the application of the answers that we kind of lack in. And that's where problems arise. It's not applying the answers to the problems we've been given. In dealing with each other, we have to remember that everyone is a prized possession that's been called out by Yahweh himself. We don't have the right to decide who comes. Yahweh chooses who comes. And when we conduct ourselves, when we talk about morality, of course, morals are rules. And our character is a combination of those morals and how much we believe in them, which is showing how much we apply them in our lives. And that shows through our actions. And then we speak about the immorality in the world, and we really see it. You can see it in Israel right now, Ukraine, Palestine, all around the world. People dying, being slaughtered. That's known as immorality. But immorality is merely someone who breaks the rules. And when we read that workplace manual, if we find that we're breaking the rules, then we get classified in that immoral position also, that immorality that's not being applied to our lives. The only difference is we know what the rules are. We're being educated. And there's more to learn, granted. But with what we have, these things should be applied. After all, we do say in the front of the junior high series that these things are applicable in all situations. And they truly are. But it's us as individuals that have to begin to apply these things to get the results, to get the morality that Yahweh desires for his people to have. And he's done it through, not by force nor by might, but by educating us to see what our decisions do and how we affect others so we can be managers of the house of Yahweh, in the house of Yahweh, just like our overseer is, a righteous manager. If you would please turn over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, on page 893. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, on page 893. In verse 24, chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run a race all compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may all lay hold of the prize and make it yours." Now keep in mind, the race we're running is a position that was set aside just for us. We're not running a race against each other. Yahshua said, "My Father's house has many mansions." And there's a reservation for each one of the people whom Yahweh has called in these last days to take hold of that office, that crown, or that position. It's not that we're competing one against another. We've seen the apostles where they fought sometimes amongst each other. And that was recorded for us to see so that we would know that we're to work together in unity, not fight, not strive, not controversy, but working hand in hand and doing the things that the overseer, the one sent by Yahweh, has instructed us to do. And in following those instructions or those rules, we can apply morality into our lives, into the workplace, into every area. In verse 25, it says, "And everyone who competes conducts himself temperately in all things. Now they compete to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I do not run a race like man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man who beats the air." You know, a man competes against everyone that he's against. You see a marathon, you see these sports, they all compete to come out on top. And even when you have a team, in the mindset of this world, there's always someone that wants to be the number one superstar. I got to be the best. I got to be paid the most. That makes me the best. But that's not Yahweh's way. Yahweh says work together, and as a group, success will grow. And that's how we will grow. Therefore, once again, I do not run like a man aimlessly. In verse 27, it says, "No, I discipline my body and bring into subjection." Remember, just like Yahshua Messiah, he brought every thought into subjection. The first among many who was able to bring every thought into subjection. By controlling his thoughts, he was able to control all emotions and he controlled all actions. He did not give in to sin by bringing himself, his thoughts, into subjection. "So that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Yes, even as teachers, we are being examined ourselves by the words we say, by the things we do. Even our pastor and overseer, look over to Revelations. Even our great teacher, Yisrael Hawkins, is examined by the words he says, by the things that he does. And Yahweh recognizes that. Yahweh says he's recognized that. Yahweh knew what kind of man our overseer, the manager of the house of Yahweh, would be in these last days. He understood what this man would be through the upbringing, through the very careful guiding and protecting of him being raised, even to the point of raising him in darkness, in a period of darkness, and letting him be one of very few that were there. In a very familiar scripture in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, speaking to the one who is over, the one sent in these last days over the Philadelphia era, he says, "I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word. You followed my instructions. You've become a very moral person. It's within you to do exactly as you're told to do. And have not denied my name." And that's, remember, he's not bringing Yahweh's name to nothing. Through all the ridicule, through all the persecution, through everything that he's been lambasted with, he's never giving in. That's his example to us. That's what he's shown us. That's who we should want to become like. Just like he is wanting to become like Yahweh, just like he has said, we must become Yahweh to him. Absolutely. And our great teacher is a great example of the character of Yahweh. We see that. This workplace manual is a guideline. It's a key. It's a must to make it into the kingdom of Yahweh. To learn to rule as Yahweh rules. Praise Yahweh. In your workplace manuals, if you write this down on page 150, and everyone should truly know, we're all training to be managers, to be teachers, to be leaders. That's what we're training to be. We're not working in areas just to learn to do a job. And Pastor said that many times. We're not just learning to milk a cow, learning to do other things, learning to cook a dish. You're learning to train people. Imagine 2 billion people coming out. And just do simple math. If you have 2 billion, let's say we have 5,000 qualified teachers. That leaves everyone 200,000 people to manage and teach and train. Obviously, you will not do that all by yourself. You're going to have to train people to train people to train people to train people. And we'll have people that we're answering to who's training us. And it's never going to end. The job is enormous. And I think sometimes my mind loses that fact, that mindset that we're learning to train other people. We need to learn to train teachers. Teachers training teachers. But first, we must become teachers. We must become teachers. But on page 150, it says, successful managers are active listeners. It says, an active listener is one who listens conscientiously, hearing not only the words that are being said, but also the intent behind the words. The active listener allows others to find solutions to their problems and support and encourages personal and professional growth. Now, notice that. The active listener allows others to find solutions to their problems. In other words, we give guidance as managers, as righteous managers, righteous teachers. It's guidance. Here's the way you must go. Walk ye in it. It's not a, this is the way you do it. You do it my way, as we see in Palestine and Israel right now, or you die. That's not the way Yahweh is. That's not in his character. We ourselves cannot allow that to be in our character. On the bottom paragraph, it says, notice. Well, it talks about a scenario. So read the scenario. But it talks about how the supervisor was not judgmental. He was not judgmental in answering. In other words, he listened to what was said. He evaluated what was said. He got all the facts, which is the very first thing we must do as teachers of Peaceful Solution, and then gave guidance on how to get to the proper decision that must be made. The proper decision. The one that causes no harm to someone, themselves, or anyone else. On page 154, it says, successful managers correct to learn. Correct to learn. Not correct to devalue, but correct to learn. And it says, correction at its best is helpful and promotes understanding and growth. As an effective manager, one of your goals should be to help employees improve rather than insult or discourage them from growing. If we have those who are with us, who are under us, who we're guiding, and they're not growing, we need to examine ourselves. We need to look at what we're doing. We should actually, a righteous teacher should bring forth many more teachers. Look at what the overseer has brought forth when it wasn't that long ago. There was very few people at the first Passover. And look at what he's brought forth today. There's as many that sit overseas that sit in the sanctuary today watching live in just few congregations. There's thousands of people that watch and follow what our great teacher teaches that we haven't even seen yet. Praise Yahweh. You know, and keep in mind, pray for those who are overseas, especially in Africa. Pray that they be kept safe from this Ebola virus. It is spreading even to countries where our congregations are at. Pray for Yahweh's protection. We take nothing lightly. We remember Yahweh is the only source of power. But to finish up, it says, by knowing your employees, you are able to determine how much and when to handle correction to learn situations. For example, you may know when to say, Tony, all the dates were wrong on the balance sheet, and many of the entries were incomplete. Some of the subtotals were in the wrong columns, and a few of the grand totals were incorrect. Can you remember to put the black files on the corner shelf and the white ones on the drawer? But you wouldn't say that to Julie. Now, is that favoritism? No. Sometimes you can talk to one person and give correction when another person may not understand it. They may not be able to comprehend what it is you're telling them. Maybe Tony worked on the job way longer than Julie. We all have different responsibilities. But when we correct, it says, keep in mind that correction should only be used as a learning, guiding tool, not one that breaks down or devalues. If we have a habit, if we do those things, if we make people feel as though they have no value, remember, we're being completely opposite of what Yahweh is trying to show us. Yahweh says he sees, pastor, our overseer, our teacher, says he sees what we can become. If we try to teach people that they're nothing through our actions, through our words, and it's also easy to do when you're angry, when you're not controlling your emotions. It's also easy to do. That's what we have to control. And in doing so, we can learn to become like our teacher, who is becoming like Yahweh. Thank you very much for your time. May Yahweh bless all of you. And now we'd like to turn it over to the great priest for closing prayer.